Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I am a creative life balance coach, singer-songwriter, and the author of a book titled The Art of Living a Life You Love. I'm happy to have Noemi Grace as my guest today. Noemi is a psychotherapist, soul healer, and the author of the book An Intimate Dialogue with God, The Miraculous Power of Unconditional Self-Love, in which Noemi shares her inspiring story and how you can learn to change your filter and thus your story. Join us for a conversation about her book and the miraculous power of unconditional self-love. Welcome, Noemi.
Oh, thank you, Margot. So glad to be here with you.
Oh, I'm really happy to have you on the show today, and I'm just so curious to hear your story about how you got inspired to write this book. And I think I'd like to start with what happened in actually 18 years ago with 9/11, and that how what was happening with you then. And we just had 9/11 last week, and I know it changed my life, and it changed so many people's lives, and it changed. We all realized that day that life can change in an instant, and I'd like to hear what happened with you that day and have our listeners hear what happened with you that day.
Sure. So that day, I live in the Boston area, and that's where the planes were hijacked from, and that day I was stuck in this train station just outside Boston, and the train was not coming, and I grew up in New York City, so I was doubly scared, scared for the people of New York City and scared for the people of Boston, scared for myself. And on that platform that day, it was so silent, and it was just a sob here and a sob there, but no one was talking. And I could just feel my fear, and it was as if I was able to feel everybody else's fear, and it was really overwhelming to feel so much fear because I had never really experienced that before. And I was in this place of terror, and I didn't know what to do. And somehow I was able to reach deep down inside myself to a place I didn't know existed, and I said a prayer that I never said before, which was, "Use me for the healing of the world." And I said that out loud on the platform, kind of shocked myself with those words. And then I started to say it a few more times, and I started to feel just a little bit better. So I started to just use this as a mantra over and over again. And I did this for several hours, because every time I stopped, I saw those buildings crashing, and I just was terrified. And I did this for many hours that day, and that became the start of my ability to be able to have a communication with I call it Source, the divine. Some people call it God, the great mystery. What is bigger than us and knows what we don't know? And it started there, and it didn't necessarily go every day from there. There were big gaps in the history of it, but it was that prayer that opened me up, and that ability to feel other people's pain and embrace that and sort of bring that to the universe and say, we all here need healing, and I'm here, I'm available.
Oh my gosh. Wow. You know, I can really feel what, I don't know, I feel like I can feel what you were feeling that day. And I mean, we all know where we were, and everybody can remember exactly what they were doing when they heard the news and how they felt throughout the day. And but to be in the Boston area, like you said, and to have been from New York, I'm from California, so for me, those places are so far away that I couldn't really relate in the way that you would. You know what I mean? In that,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, where I grew up. Oh my gosh, where I am now. You know, I mean, oh, that must have been just incredible.
It was unreal. It was it was just something that I had never experienced, and everyone around me, we didn't know what to make of it. You know, we kind of thought it was the beginning of the end. and it was just so shocking. It shocked us out of our everyday, ordinary reality in this place of unconscious living, you know, kind of semi-automatic living, to be like, oh, it was a huge wake-up call. It really was for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm grateful for that experience, even though I certainly would never want to experience that again.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was a wake-up call for everybody, and it was, Well, Live Your Music, the name of my show, is because of Wayne Dyer had always said, don't die with your music still in you. And so I thought, how can I say it without the don't and without the die? And it was Live Your Music. And weird thing is I had seen him here in Marin County at Book Passage on the Friday before it. And
wow.
So he was talking about there's a spiritual solution to every problem, his book that was just coming out then. And I had started reading the book right before and during the whole 9/11 thing, and I was so glad that I had, because it just, the whole thing threw me for a loop, you know. And but it also reminded me of what he used to say too about what would you do if you knew you only had 6 months to live. And at this point it was like, if you know you could go any time, what do you want to make sure you do before you leave the planet? And so, you know, I can really relate to that, because that really changed how I looked at life in so many ways, and it sounds like it did for you as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it certainly made us aware, at least for me and many people I know, of the vulnerability that we have, that we are, like you said, we could go at any time, not through our own even doing, but we could just, it might be not here anymore. And so so I love that quote from Wayne Dyer. It's one of my favorite quotes of his. And I love that you named your show from that. I was wondering if that's why you named your show that way. And it's so, you know, our own music is, what is it that is uniquely ours? You know, everyone's
mm-hmm.
music is different. And what is our unique gift? What is it that we have to share with people? And if we keep it inside and we don't share our music at the end, it won't be as satisfying for sure, you know. But there's a joy that comes and from sharing that music.
And sharing the music, as like you said, also is a way of how we can help others to, and ourselves, to enjoy life more, and to how we can make life better for us and for others is by living our music and other people living their music. Because when you're living your music, you're definitely not living unconsciously. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely.
And you're
not behind a mask, you know. When you don't share your music, which I, for many years, hid myself behind a pretty thick mask. So
mm-hmm.
whoever I was sharing myself to be in the world was not really me, and it wasn't my music, you know. So it was, when you don't share your music, you know, you're unconscious and you're sharing something that's not you, so it doesn't feel that good.
No. Now, your work is, you work as a psychotherapist and soul healer, and also from your own life experience and research for your book, why do you think it is that so many people struggle with seeing life through the lens of the past and trauma and pain loops versus seeing life through the lens of the present with love, joy, and happiness? Why is that?
That's a great question. And, you know, if you see a baby, I mean, they are living in the present, and they're in joy or they're crying, you know. I mean, they're feeling the feeling of the present moment. They're not remembering that, yesterday, you know, I had to cry for half an hour before I got fed, or, you know, they're just in the moment with it. And we have learned to not live in the moment. Part of that is programming, and part of that is our great, brilliant minds that allow us to project out into the future and
mm-hmm.
also kind of revisit the past and review the past and sometimes rehashed the past. And so most people I find tend to be either a little bit more future-oriented than present-oriented or a little bit past-oriented than present-oriented. And so we've lost that equilibrium. We've lost that balance. And it's so, when you find somebody, when I find somebody that's really, for me, remarkably living in the present, it's so refreshing. And they're there with me, and there isn't this, you know, well, how come you haven't talked to me in 6 months or anything like that? And so we have, because of traumas, because of programming, we are very often dragging our past into the present. So, you know, we're going through our day and we're thinking about yesterday or last year or last month or, you know, 10 years ago. And so that can also lead us towards depression if we're not happy about what we're thinking about. Mm-hmm. And other people tend to develop more towards the future, you know, thinking about the future. How can I create what I want? How can I be, or what if this bad thing happens tomorrow? So, you know, there's a good aspect, there's a healthy aspect of thinking about the future, and then there's the anxious aspect of like, uh-oh, what if? And mm-hmm. so that can bring people into worrying. And mm-hmm. you can't, in the present moment, there's really a need to worry, unless, you know, unless we're in a dangerous situation, you know. We've just been socialized and to just be not here.
And yeah, so to be that, almost, you know, anywhere else but here.
Exactly. And going back to the baby story, one of the joys that we experience with babies is being here now with them. You're not, mm-hmm. you know, when you're connecting with a baby, you are here. You're not connecting with yesterday's baby or how the baby might be tomorrow, you know? So.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It really helps bring it home, what you're talking about. That is so true. And you're so right. I see so many people that are so focused on either guilt or shame or blame or whatever from the past, or else they're
mm-hmm.
worried and anxious and nervous about the future instead of actually being in the only moment we can do anything in, which is now, right now.
Exactly, exactly. And so we miss the now.
Yeah. yeah. Wayne Dyer,
and again, we missed
it. Gone. You know, the present moment is like right now, and then it's gone. It's like already a second or two into the future, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, to learn to focus on what's happening now is so important.
Yeah.
Okay, now, you believe that profound transformation occurs by simply changing your filters. What does that mean? And how can changing our change our stories and our lives? I want to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah. So in my book, An Intimate Dialogue with God, there's a whole chapter that talks about filters, and that is about our perception. We perceive things, you know, there's that saying that says there's three sides to every story, yours, mine, and the truth, because we all have perception. Not that we're liars, but we have perception, and we perceive things. We might perceive a tone to mean a certain thing, and the other person isn't aware of the tone, so they're not meaning that thing. And so we are living in a world built on perception and not aware that it's not exactly 100% what's really going on. And so... and that perception is created by lenses. What lens? Some people, you know, are wearing that rose-colored glasses, where the world is always wonderful, even when it's not. And, you know, so the rose-colored glass is good to a point, you know, but there's sometimes where you really need to see that, oh, this car is going to hit me. I better not be rose-colored right now. And so the filter is the lens that we apply to how we perceive everything. And what happens, you know, you mentioned with the guilt and the shame and the blame, all of that. So then the lens becomes the lens of the past, and it becomes a lens of judgment. And we feel like we're victims in some way of circumstances or this person or that person or even of ourselves. And so
right.
we have now this lens, this filter that we're applying to our life that is judging us, is helping us to judge ourselves more. It is creating judgment of ourselves, self-judgment. And, you know, without awareness, if you just listen to a conversation of people in a public place, and they're not people that just fell in love, but just average people, you know, going out for coffee or a drink, or you listen, and how much judgment is happening, how much is each one saying something judgmental about somebody else or themselves? It's so ingrained in us. And so our default filter, as my book talks about, is judgment and victim consciousness. And when we start to be aware of how I see the world, and I can see it from a different lens, and what if I could see it from love? What if I could see, if I was having love, if I was looking at somebody from love, how would I see them? Even if they're angry with me, could I have compassion? Could I see that their vulnerability? And so changing a filter is like changing the lens in the camera, being able to change that way that we look at things. So it makes it so much easier to change our lives than to have to change our thoughts all the time. Like, oh, there's that bad thought. Oop, you know, so it's a change at a bigger level.
Oh, I know. It would keep you busy all day long just catching your thoughts and going and judging them bad or good or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Oh, my gosh. So that, I see what you're saying, though. I mean, seeing from a filter of love versus a filter of fear and guilt and blame and shame and all of those other filters that could be causing it to be really distorted from what's happening, and also for us not to see what's good in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, you know, one of the things you said reminded me of the fact that you know, rose-tinted glasses and therefore a positive outlook. And a lot of people think that a positive attitude, because I have a real positive attitude, and I love that, that a positive attitude means you go around going, there's no weeds in my garden. it means if you see weeds, you go, oh, my gosh, there's weeds in my garden. I'm going to pull them out and plant some flowers here, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, being positive, having a positive attitude doesn't mean you don't see things are wrong or want to make them better. It just means that you don't go, oh, my God, I should feel so guilty because there's weeds in my
How
garden.
How can I let these weeds grow in my garden? What's wrong with me? Yes, it's not doing
that. Oh, I know. Yeah. Okay, now, how can you learn to make peace with and dissolve the mind chatter, the self-judgment and victim consciousness that so many people feel?
Yeah, so first you have to be aware of it, right? So, you know, this is living by default or living on autopilot. There's a lot of judgment that just comes in, these judgmental, ugh, what was I thinking? Ugh, how could I be so stupid? Or what were they thinking? So all these thoughts come in that we're not even aware of. They're kind of on the back. They're in the subconscious. They're just below our awareness. And so the more that we can be aware, and so if we practice, and maybe I can share a little bit more about this, but let me answer your question first. If we practice seeing from love or seeing from compassion or acceptance or a different lens, now we are going to change that dialogue once we practice it enough. It's kind of like practicing whatever you practice, whether it's the piano or meditation, or riding a bicycle, whatever you practice, it starts to become automatic. And so as
right.
we practice that, we now start to recognize the judgment, but we're seeing it with compassion, or we're seeing it with love and acceptance. It's like, oh, judgment, huh. So you make peace with it when you don't go into battle with it. Well, you don't judge the judging. As soon as you judge the judging, you're you've gone two steps backwards, you know? So it's kind of, and then if you judge the judging, laugh at yourself. And it's like, oh,
yeah.
I'm judging the judging. Oh, not like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I stop judging? But it's just like, oh, well, that's helpful. Ha ha. You know, just kind of making light of it. And,
yeah.
And so, you know, the things that we don't like that we do a certain thing, just have compassion for that. I can have compassion that sometimes I might react and then think afterwards and just the more that I have compassion for that, the easier it is to stop reacting so much. So it's amazing when we change the way we look at it, we also change not only how we see it, but we change how we relate to it and then how we respond with it.
I love that. I love that.
Thank
I'm going to be listening to this show over and over again. And I really do hope that people will listen to it and share it with people, because these are such important points. And I can't believe it, but the time's going by so quickly. We have only about 9 minutes left. So,
wow.
Yeah. What are three action steps for our listeners to help begin to change their filter and therefore their story?
Right. And so the story comes out of our perception, right? So we all have a life story. And if you meet somebody and you say, tell me everything about you, tell me your story, you're going to hear, you know, a lot of struggle, usually a lot of drama or trauma or loss or hardship or something that's coming along here that's hard. And not that we don't experience those things, but do we focus on those things? And so when we change our story, we now change how we're looking at ourselves. And so that starts with changing the perception that we have of ourselves. And so in my book, in Chapter 2, it gives you a couple of really good tools. And some of these tools are in the form of questions. And the first question is, what do I see when I look at this from love? And this could be me. It could be the other person. It could be something that happened. What if I look at this from love? What if I step back from this judgment place, or I feel like a victim, or step back from that? What if I had love? And with love comes compassion. So if I had love and compassion and I looked at this, how would I see it? How would somebody else who's compassionate and loving see it or see me? And so you start to ask that question, to actually interrupt that way, to recognize the judgment in your thinking and start to say, whoa, wait a second, what if I looked at this from love? How would that look? And then going along with that is a lot of times we're choosing based on guilt and shame and judgment and all of that. And so instead of choosing from there, what if I was choosing from love? What would I choose if I chose from love? What would I choose? How would I choose differently? What would I choose the same thing? That's really very affirming. Like, oh, I would be making the same choice if I was choosing, especially if I'm choosing from self-love. If I'm choosing from self-love, would I make this choice? Or would I say, oh, I really want to say, no, I can't do that for you, but I feel like I have to, or I don't want to disappoint them, but I'd rather disappoint myself, you know. And so if you're choosing from self-love, now you're going to make different choices. And if you allow yourself to choose from self-love. And then the third one that goes along with this is how to stretch your comfort zone a little bit. And it's a statement that you fill in the blanks. I love myself enough to. Right, so I can't choose. If I chose from love, I would choose that, but I can't choose that. But I love myself enough to maybe say, next time I need more time. I need you to give me more notice when you want me to do something for you. Or I love myself enough to do only part of what I feel like I should be doing, but I know is going to leave me with not enough self-care, you know. So it's what every day stretching that comfort zone. Today I love myself enough too, and just stretching it a little more. What can I do that's a little more loving, a little more accepting of myself,
a little kinder. I love that. It's so true. It's loving yourself. And I was talking with you before about Toastmasters and pausing. And one of the things that I realized when this woman was giving a speech about loving yourself a few years ago is that if you pause and say, I love myself, you've got the capital S self, the inner you. And that felt better to me than just saying, I love myself, I love myself.
Oh, that's like, let me hurry up and get over with it. I love myself. So
I started playing with it and going, I love myself, I love myself. And you start realizing that it's the inner you. You don't have to be saying I love you to the mirror, like Louise Hay talked about. You can, although that's good too, but you can just say it wherever you are to yourself, I love myself. And like you said, I love myself enough too, and then fill it in. Oh my, I wish we had a lot more time.
Well, I'm happy to come back again. But I'm really enjoying this conversation
yeah,
as well.
I know. I would like to have you on again sometime and talk more in depth about these things. So what do you hope people take away from your first book?
Yes, and this is the first book in a series. And this book is about the miraculous power of unconditional self-love. And what I hope people take away and is to discover how truly amazing and beautiful and gifted that they are, to discover the truth about themselves. Because, again, with the filter and the lenses that we're looking at ourselves, with the judgment and everything else that we're looking at ourselves and the masks and everything we wear, we don't really see who we are. So if we're looking in the mirror, we're not even seeing ourselves. So I would really love for people to discover how incredibly beautiful and amazing they are, and to discover who they are and live the truth of who they are in the world, and that will change everything in anyone's life. I guarantee that.
Oh, I totally believe it. I totally believe it. Oh my gosh. So anyway, this is the first of three books. Is it going to be a three book or how many book series?
Four.
You know?
Four. Yeah.
Oh, four books.
Yes.
Yeah, because so often most of the time it's trilogies, but
yeah. Well. Four is what it came out to be. So,
You know, whatever ends up being the right amount. I mean, some people end up, like Harry Potter was like, what, seven or whatever. You never know. So, wow, this has been so uplifting. That's the thing. It's just, you know, and love, and you're talking about love, and you've said unconditional love, but, you know, for me, L-O-V-E, all in caps, period, means love. It means divine love. It means unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
It means all
mm-hmm.
of those things. And
absolutely.
So many people have all these definitions of what kind of love is what and who you can love that way. And all, you know, so people can get in touch with you online at your website, which I have in the show information, and they can also get in touch with you on social media. But we have 2 minutes left. What would you like to leave our listeners with?
Well, if there's any judgment of yourself that to start to look at, maybe this judgment is not really the truth. Maybe there's deeper truth to me, and maybe there's more to me, and maybe there's something pretty wonderful to me. Just to start even questioning the judgment and being open to that there might be something more about you that's more wonderful than judgment, than what you're judging. And I certainly have a blog on my NoemiGrace.com. There's a blog that can really be helpful. It has some excerpts from my book, but it has a lot of new material that's not even in my book. So, and if you have any questions, I am available. You can contact me through social media, my Facebook author page, Noemi Grace Author, and certainly through my website, and I'm happy to communicate with people.
Oh, thank you. Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Thank you, thank you. Oh, I am so glad that I listened to my intuition when John asked me to have you on the show. And thank you for everything. I just, Noemi, oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome, and I'm really grateful to be here.
Well, our time is up for now, and I just wanted to say thank you to everyone listening, and please do share this show with your family and friends. We need all of the love, L-O-V-E, love, that we can get here in this world. Bye for now, everyone. Bye, Noemi. Keep
Bye,
Margot.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.